Good morning, everybody. We are so thankful that you've been able to be a part and be here this weekend. It is in that time of year where everything just goes crazy, and there are all types of different events. Congratulations to all of our high school graduates, all of our college graduates. Man, that time has finally come, so I know that there are a lot of excited families who are here with us today because of the things that have been going on with your children, and so we celebrate that with you. We also know that there are some who are watching today and you're joining us online because you have traveled to go and be with family this weekend because of different milestones that are going on, and things are just going to ramp up even more as we head next weekend into the Memorial Weekend holiday. A lot of travels, and then all of a sudden we're into the summer and there's going to be vacation. So there's all kinds of things that go on. And there are travels that happen, and we're grateful for those travels that bring you here to be with us. And again, we're thankful for you taking the time. I know that over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of things going on. Last weekend was Mother's Day, and we had a great time to be able to celebrate Mom and all the things that go on with that. Had a great crowd that was here, and a lot of energy and a lot of love for Mom. And I did not give a shout out last week, so I wanted to make sure that I do that today and just say thanks to a couple different people and groups. I appreciate our welcome team led by our connections minister Ashley Francis for all the work they did getting our lobby ready and for the welcoming that they gave to moms and all the different things that were going on surrounding that. It takes a lot of time and effort and energy, and we appreciate all of that that was given. And also a shout out to our children's minister, Brittany Michelle, all of her little elves that were also helping in the children's center because they were making special shrinky dinks for Mom. Now, if you're one of the moms and got the shrinky dinks, hopefully that gave you some feels, right? Gave you the good feels. Maybe it took some of you back. How many of you remember doing shrinky dinks? You guys remember that, right? Where you take those little things, put them in the oven, and you watch them, and they just, you know, crinkle up into something. They've actually been working on those, apparently. They've almost perfected those things. I mean, our kids were back there last week, and they were writing messages to Mom on a sheet of paper that then got shrunk down in shrinky-dink size that you could put on a keychain and still be able to read whatever they wrote. I don't know. It's amazing. Kind of like fax machines and, I don't know, those other things, you know, putting people on the moon. The moon and shrinky dinks, I think those go hand in hand. But there's just so many things that have been going on. There was a ladies and daughters, or moms and daughters and ladies luncheon that went on yesterday, and I appreciate all of those who were involved in putting that together and making that happen, and just so many things that have been taking place. And so I know it's a very busy time, and we are grateful again for just spending time with us today at East Brainerd. I don't know if this happens in every profession or not, but strange things happen when people find out my job. And I don't know if it's the same for you when they find out what you do for a living, but when people find out that I am a preacher, well, just different things happen. And because of this, warnings are often given to people in advance. You see, I've been a part of some golf tournaments recently where participants were given a heads up. Hey, just want you to know, my preacher is going to be playing with us today. Now, I wish that was code for, man, I am bringing a ringer on this team that can smash the ball. I really do wish that's what that was about. But over the years, I've discovered that it's code for, hey, be careful what you say and what you drink today. And I don't know if the same thing happens to accountants or engineers. Hey, Terry's coming today, and remember, he's an engineer, so no sarcasm, right? I didn't say Tim. Terry. during one of those recent golf tournaments, a nice cart lady pulled up to offer snacks and cold beverages. And after asking if there was anything that we needed, she then asked the question. She said, hey, is one of you a preacher? And I thought, wow, maybe I give off some type of, you know, preacher vibes, you know. And I was thinking, well, maybe she heard me on the last tee when I, you know, shanked that drive and shouted out, "Son of a Baptist!" You know, I thought maybe that's what it was. And I was like, well, yeah. I said, I'm a preacher. And when I said that, she got all flustered. And she began to stutter her words. And turns out she had been told by one of the tournament organizers that there was a certain participant in this golf tournament that was going to be playing with his preacher. And when she happened to pull up on the course and find this particular guy with his preacher, that she should jokingly and loudly announce that she had brought this particular golfer his favorite alcoholic beverage that he drinks every time that they are on the course. However, when she was face to face with me, the preacher, she couldn't get out her words. And she finally gathered herself, and she told me about the joke and what she had been told to say, and how that for some reason she just could not. She said, "I just can't joke about getting drunk in front of a preacher. I can't do it." And I said, "Well, you know, that's okay, because the church member that I'm with hadn't had a problem drinking all day, so it didn't matter. It was all good." No, okay, look, that had not actually been happening, but she didn't know that, right? And so after I said that, she really didn't know what to say. And so she awkwardly looked at me and went, "Tell me about your church." I don't know, maybe she was thinking, "I want to take communion there." I don't know. But, you know, even when it's awkward, I love it when people ask that question. I love it when people say things about and ask questions like, "Tell me about your church. Tell me about the people that are part of the place where you preach." And let me tell you, almost every single week I hear some form of question where people are asking about things here with our church family at East Brainerd. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful to be able to respond about all the things that God is doing in our midst. And primarily, I talk about what God is doing in and through you. How He led your family here. How He led your family here during a time where you really needed it the most. I talk about how you are serving and how you are caring for others. I talk about your generosity and your compassion and how it's sustaining lives. I talk about how you are winning and losing spiritual battles, but how in the process of that you are learning to rely on God's grace. I talk about how you're being changed little by little, day by day, into the image of Christ. You see, what's happening here at EB, it's all about what God is doing in and through you. It's not about me, the preacher. It's about God, and it's about you. Now, I don't know all the things that have brought you to us. Maybe you received an invitation from a friend, and so you pulled us up online. You decided to visit. Maybe you are a family that's new to Chattanooga, and you had someone tell you that, "Hey, when you move to town, you need to check out this group." Perhaps you heard about our snack pack ministry, and you wanted to learn more about why this past school year we put together, packed and delivered, over 100,000 food bags that went to food insecure children. Maybe your kids' friends have been talking about something called the bridge. You've heard about this bridge thing that goes on within our children's ministry and our youth ministry, and so you brought your preteen one Sunday to give it a try. Maybe you're looking for a community of young adults who are focused on doing life together, and someone suggested our YAC ministry. Look, I know that there are all kinds of different reasons for you being a part here, but I just want you to know that whatever it is that has brought you here, whether recently or a long time ago, man, I'm grateful for your presence. I'm thankful that you call this place home. You might not realize, but the majority of our church family has come to us within this last decade, with many of you being here just within the past 5 years. So chances are, if you run into someone in our lobby or someone who's a part of one of our ministries, you're going to find out that they began calling East Brainerd home relatively recently. And maybe it is that you guys just sit on different sides of the building, so you really haven't noticed one another yet or been able to say hello. Maybe you sit in the front and somebody else sits in the back. I know of two individuals who recently met during a job interview. only to discover on their way out to the car that, well, guess what? Their families were blessing and being blessed here at East Brainerd. One had been here for almost a couple of years, the other just a couple of months. They just sat on different sides of the room. But then they start talking and they're like, wait a minute, I think my daughter knows someone with your daughter's name. And, well, I think my daughter, I think they play ball together. Well, I think they're in a Bible class together. Where do you go to church? Go to East Brainerd. I drink the communion there. They're like, really? That's where we're at. I know that there are some wonderful families here who are lifers as well. These are faith warriors. These are the individuals who are the underpinnings of our spiritual foundation. In fact, just a show of hands, if you've been here, let's say 15 years or longer, just raise your hand if you've been at East Brainerd 15 years or longer, okay? Look at those hands. How about 20 years? 20 years or longer, raise your hands. Okay, not as many. 25? We got 25 still? See, you got some up? I'm not going to ask anymore because then people are going to start asking your age if we get past that. But you see, look, hey, we've got some individuals here that the foundation of this congregation, that they are standing on the shoulders of those that came before them, and that we now stand upon their shoulders as well because of what they have done here and allowed God to do through them. But the majority of you have just been here really less than a decade. And so periodically I feel a need that when it's appropriate, just to take some time to share with you some things about our church family, some things that are just important, some important principles that serve as guide rails for everything that we do here at EB, so that when people say, tell me about your church, well, you can tell them. You can tell them that at EB, we strive to have Jesus Christ and His love at the center of everything that we do. Very few people in companies, and especially very few churches, can clearly articulate why they do what they do. What they do, oh, they'll tell you all the time. How they do it, sure, they can communicate that. But the why? In fact, you, if someone asks why do we do some of this or some of that, you might struggle being able to give a clear answer. In fact, if I were to ask 10 different people, if I were just to pull you up here on stage from different parts here of our audience, and I was to say, you know what? Why does EB have a Father's Table ministry and give away fresh meats and vegetables along with paper supplies on the third Wednesday of each month? Well, you know, you might get 10 different answers. And those answers might all be very well and good. But the simple reason and the simple response is, Jesus Christ and His love is at the center of everything that we do. And because Jesus was a loving champion of the underprivileged and underserved, so are we. So, by the way, this Wednesday is the third Wednesday in the month. And if you're a person that maybe you're retired or maybe you're going to be off this Wednesday or maybe you get off at lunchtime or something, we're going to be giving away food here beginning at 3 o'clock, and people begin arriving and parking in our parking area at around 12:30, sometimes even earlier than that, because it is first come, first serve. And we already have a group of ladies and gentlemen that come early. They'll get here 8 o'clock and start, because the food will be dropped off and the paper supplies need to be bagged up and all that has to be put together. And if that's something that you would like to be a part of, I encourage you to come on over. They'll be over here by our overflow entrance, and you can share and you can help in that. Or how about this? If somebody were to say, why at EB do you have archery classes on Tuesday nights during the school year? Well, you could say that, well, you know, we just like shooting things with sharp pointy sticks, and it's really cool. Or you could say, Jesus Christ and His love are at the center of everything that we do. And because Jesus lovingly used creative activities and imagery to point people to God, so do we. And you know what? In one of those golf tournaments that I was mentioning earlier, I did run into someone who said, you know what I know about your church? You have archery. My son comes to your archery that you do there on Tuesdays. And I said, well, that's great. It's really fun. He said, you know what I like the best about it? He's not just learning about archery, but he's learning about God. Well, that's great. Or how about this question? Why, DB, do you have homes, or do you have a home for women who have been recently released from prison? And why do you offer accountability groups for people trying to get their life back on track? Well, Jesus Christ and his love are at the center of everything we do. And because Jesus came to set captives free, we are trying to help individuals walk away from the choices and addictions that have enslaved them. I've heard this question before. Why at EB do you sometimes talk about and study controversial or divisive topics? Well, the answer is we love emails. And we do, man. Love it when I get those emails. Now that, Jesus Christ and his love are at the center of everything we do. And because Jesus was not afraid to lovingly engage in difficult conversations about the meaning and application of God's word, then hopefully neither are we. You see, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And our why is Jesus and his love. That is our center. And that is why, as you leave this room, if you exit through the middle doors here, you'll see there's a banner there that says we're trying to move people toward a life-restoring relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll also see it in posters on our walls there in the lobby. You'll see it at different places throughout our campus. We want to introduce others to the one that is our center, because we get this in other areas of our lives. This makes sense, especially when it comes to dating, right? You remember when you first wanted to bring that guy, that special gal, you wanted to bring them home to meet the parents? Maybe you'd met at college, perhaps you'd run into one another at work. Maybe you had swiped right on that dating app, and there had been others, but you didn't want them to meet the others. But you wanted your family to meet this one. And so you found that special person. You began to center all of your time and attention around them. And you started making plans with your family to introduce this person. And you gave your family special instructions about what they could or could not say. The subject matter that was off limits when you were sitting there around the table. Because everything had to be just right. The right place. The right time. Because you wanted others to meet the person who was at the center of your attention. You'd made it Facebook official. You'd changed your Instagram photo. You'd start asking if it was okay to bring a plus one. You wanted the world to know. We get it with dating. And you know what? It's the same here at EB. We want the world to know the one that is the center about everything that we do. We want others to come into a life-restoring relationship with Jesus Christ. So we strive to filter everything we do through a Jesus lens. He has our focus, and he has our attention. So there's no telling what we might do, but we certainly know why it will be done. So let's think just a little bit about the results of being centered on Jesus. When Jesus Christ and his love are at the center of everything you do, and it will influence the message that you share. It's going to influence the message. And friends, it is going to make the message simple. The Apostle Paul demonstrated this truth when he reminded the Christians living in Corinth about the time he was with them. And he told them, he said, you know what? I have resolved. And he used a legal term there that we see in our Bibles translated as resolved. And that legal term means that a choice had been made to separate one thing over here from another. He's saying there are choices of things that I could talk about. There are choices of things that I could focus on. But he says, I have resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, Paul could have talked about Abraham or Moses. And to be sure, he did that when speaking to Jewish audiences, but always the lens of the supremacy of Jesus. And Paul could have talked about the political issues of his day. He was a Roman citizen, after all. And Paul could have shared with them about his own personal feelings about life. Come on, Paul, tell us your truth. But all of these subjects and more were on the table. But because Jesus Christ and his love were at the center of Paul's life, he then began to sift through all the different things that could be talked about and all the things that could be focused on and all the messages that he could choose. And he resolved to make his message about Jesus and his crucifixion. Jesus and his love. Now understand, a focus on Jesus, a focus on Jesus will influence our conversations about so many things. It will impact and influence our conversations about religion and about politics and about truth and about sexuality and about materialism. It'll influence our conversations about justice and righteousness and sin. But those conversations will flow from a stream whose origin and source is the person of Jesus Christ. Meaning that God's truths will be shared with Christ's love. And that Scripture will be viewed through a mercy lens. And that all of our messages will point others to Jesus. You see, here at EB, we want people to fall in love with Jesus. We want people to fall in love with Jesus. Not our positions, not our ministries, not even our church. And this is especially true, and I'll speak a little bit more about this in a couple of weeks. Man, this is especially true, guys, for our kids. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have Vacation Bible School, and it is always a big deal here at East Brainerd. And I mentioned earlier about our bridge ministry that we have for our tweens as they are getting ready to move from elementary school into middle school and all the changes that are going on with them. Friends, we want our kids to fall in love with Jesus. And so all the different activities or all the different special events, all the times that we might bring them up, when we give first graders their Bibles, when we celebrate the baptisms of our children, when we have our EBK praise team come up and be here on stage, all of these things are taking place not because we want our kids to fall in love with a certain ministry or even this church here, but we want them to fall in love with Jesus. Because I think that when you focus people's time and attention on an issue, they just become self-absorbed and consumed with self-righteousness because they have the right answer about the issue. Or you focus people's time and attention on a ministry, and you know what? They'll serve until that ministry or that minister is gone. You focus people's time and attention on a specific church, and they will attend until something changes or until someone disappoints. And let's be honest, I think we've all had different seasons where we have complicated the message by trying to move people closer to a certain position or a certain ideology or a specific ministry or a particular church. But I believe that when you focus people's time and attention on Jesus and his love, that they become concerned about people, not positions. And they serve out of a desire, not out of a compulsion or just mere convenience. And you focus people's attention on Jesus and his love, and they worship daily, partnering with others who are seeking to bring heaven's kingdom ethic to earth. And this idea, it's so important because the message we share is the message that we convert people to. It's why we all know of individuals, Christians, who will question your faithfulness if you don't side with them on a specific issue or topic. Oh yeah? Right? You've seen that happen before? Or the person whose faith is maybe more in the Bible than in the God whom the Bible reveals. Or the person who believes that they must attend a specific type of church in order to be accepted by God. All good people. But people who were converted to a message that did not have Jesus Christ and his love at the center. At EB, we desire to move people to a life-restoring relationship with Jesus because he is the center of all that we do, and that just makes the message simple. Now, I got to be honest and tell you up front and let you know that even though we strive to do this at EB, we strive to have Jesus and his love at the center of everything that we do. We're not perfect in this pursuit, and oftentimes we are very inconsistent because it's so easy to get distracted. Did you hear about this? Did you know that a few weeks ago, people got distracted on a highway in Alabama? Actually, it was on the interstate. It was on I-85 between Auburn and Tuskegee. And Sheila, the kangaroo, escaped from her closure. Not from Auburn, Jeff Ball. Did not escape from Auburn. But Sheila was at an enclosure in a nearby agricultural ranch and decided to go on a midday run or hop, as you see. And she ended up hopping down the interstate. And it distracted people. And there was at least a two-car accident, and then traffic was stopped as everybody was watching Sheila just hop along the road, because you're in Alabama, and you never know what you're going to see in Alabama. Now, don't worry. Sheila was safely returned home. No kangaroos were hurt in the making of this photo or in this illustration. But it is a reminder of how different things can happen in life that you're not anticipating, and it all of a sudden gets you off focus. As a church family, we often forget the why. And when that happens, sometimes there is a stop in the traffic. And you'll notice that some of us begin treating our faith community as a spiritual country club. And we begin to ask or act as if the church exists for our own personal enjoyment or comfort or satisfaction. And when we get distracted, you begin to hear us demanding our way or complaining about this or that or arguing about things that have nothing to do with helping move others closer to a life-restoring relationship with Jesus Christ. That happens occasionally. And when it does, it's okay to gently remind one another, hey, let's remember our why. And from time to time, some of us will be guilty of treating our faith community as one of ten. Meaning our time together in service or study or praise is just one of ten other things that we have on our calendar. And our time together really has no greater priority than anything else. And if I have the time, then I'll fit EB into my schedule. When this happens, you'll hear us talking favorably about the concepts of involvement and service and volunteering and being present in one another's lives. But you will not see the commitment of doing these things. I mentioned earlier about our children's ministry and the Vacation Bible School, and you know that we've been asking for volunteers, and many of you have done that, and I want to say thank you, but you need to understand that these things that we do for our kids, we try to do on a very large scale, and we need a lot of people. Even our kids' praise, it takes 14 to 18 volunteers just to have kids' praise run each week. I know so many moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, man, you're excited when those kids get dismissed. You're waiting. It's like, are we having kids' praise today? Please say we're having kids' praise. Please say we're having kids' praise. Yeah, I know you love it. But guess what? That doesn't happen unless there are people here, part of our church family, that say, you know what? I want these kids to fall in love with Jesus, and so I'm going to sacrifice my time with the church family here to be able to spend my time with these kids and to make sure that Jesus is priority in their life. And so I had a conversation with our children's ministry staff this week, and I said, look, I've been seeing where a couple of different weeks on Saturdays, we've been putting out on Facebook, and we've been saying, hey, we don't have enough volunteers for different things that are happening within children's ministry, and we need people who can volunteer. And some of you saw that, you know, and you stepped up and you did that. But I had a conversation with them, and I said, guys, I said, that really makes me feel bad. I said, when I see our church putting out a message for everybody to see that says we don't have enough volunteers with a church family that each week has over 500 people here, I said, something is wrong. Something's wrong. And so look, when this happens, when people say that they love the things that we do and they talk highly about involvement and service and volunteering, but yet the commitment is not there, then there are times where we gently need to say, like I'm trying to say this morning, guys, let's remember our why. Okay? Let's remember that why. And I tell you this in an effort to be transparent. You see, we strive to keep Jesus at the center of everything, but it doesn't always happen. And I don't want you to get discouraged or frustrated when you witness a different focus or when you are the one that's focus is off center. The Apostle Paul once wrote to a group of Christians talking about his goal of centering on Christ. And I want you to listen. I want you to listen to what he says about how he hasn't arrived at the goal, but this is what he says. It's in your Bibles, Philippians chapter 3. He says, look, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, has called me. He says, I'm pressing on. I'm aggressively chasing in order to catch that goal. And perhaps you're a lot like our church family here at East Brainerd, and you want to have Jesus Christ as the center of everything that you do, and you want Jesus and His love to be your why. But sometimes, or maybe a lot of times, you become distracted by the Sheilas, by the kangaroos that are jumping around in your life. And your decisions and your actions show that your focus is on somewhere else. It's on someone else. So I want to remind you of something I've shared with you before, the most therapeutic phrase in the English language. Get over it. Yeah. Get over it. Whatever it is, get over it. Forget about what happened yesterday or last week or last year, and you reach toward tomorrow, aggressively chasing after a Jesus-centered life. And I'd love for you to do that here with us at East Brainerd. I'd love for you to be a part of our church family, not just on the outskirts or sitting on the back row. By the way, nothing wrong with sitting on the back row, all right? Love you back row people. But how about deciding that this will be your faith community? That this would be where you and your family serve. This is the people you practice your faith with. We'd love to have you here at EB. And here's why I'd love for you to do this. I'd love for you to take out your phone and pull up our website at eastbrainerdchurch.org. And in the lower left-hand corner, I think we got a photo. Yeah, you'll see this. You'll see where it'll say, moving people closer to a life restoring relationship with Jesus Christ. And there in the bottom left, it says next steps, and you can swipe on that. You click that icon and then you choose from a list of options because that next area shows up. And, you know, if you are new or old to our church family, you're looking for ways to get engaged or encouraged, you can click that Get Involved tab. Or if you're new to EB, you can give information. First steps to join the EB family, and you can find out more things that are going on. If you're ready to begin a life with Jesus as your center, you can click I'm ready to be baptized. And, man, that'll be an awesome thing to be able to find out about you and your desire. Now look, if you're not big on technology and that's not your thing, you can stop by our Connection Center out in the lobby and one of our volunteers will be there, or you can talk with Ashley Francis, our Connections Minister. She'll be glad to walk you through all of this. Because we love what God is doing here through this church. And we'd love for you to be a part of it. But I have to ask, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you making the decisions you're making? Who's at your center? Whether you're one of our graduates that just got your diploma or you're one of those foundational members and you've been here as long as the carpet has. By the way, the carpet's only been here for about 20 years, okay? Is Jesus really at the center of your life? If it's not Jesus and His sacrificial love, then why not? You see, more important than having you at East Brainerd is you having Jesus and His love at the center of your life. This is not, or this has not been a message about, hey, we want you to join our church. But it has been a message that we'd love to introduce you to Jesus. Let Jesus be the why behind everything you do. It will change your message, but more importantly, it will change you. So, Father, I ask for that change to be present here in this place. I am thankful and grateful for all who have called EB home through the years. Those who have come here because maybe they were raised here. Or maybe they were invited just by friends. They just happened to wander in and then just never left. Father, for those who found something that they were missing in their life, I'm thankful for the welcome that people have received. I'm thankful for the comfort that has been given, for the generosity that has been extended, for the good that has been done here through these people and here at this place. And I pray, Father, that you would send more individuals our way. That we would be ready to answer the question, hey, can you tell me about your church? And that besides just talking about ministries and opportunities that we can get the conversation to how Jesus Christ and His love is at the center of everything we do. Father, I'm thankful for the forgiveness that comes to us for the times that we get distracted. We forget why we have the life we have, why we gather together, why we participate in all these different ministries and activities. Thank you for the opportunity to refocus us today. May we continue to have that focus this week, wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves. Father, may we have you as the center, and may it change us because of that. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Church, we're going to sing and give God praise. Maybe you need to go and speak to one of our elders in our prayer room back in our lobby during this time because there's just some important things on your heart. Maybe there's something that you need to share in front of this congregation and you're like, you know what, I don't mind. I need to let people know some things that are happening. I need some intentional prayers. Maybe you need to come and say, I'd like to be baptized into Christ. I don't want to just check a box on a phone to let people know. I want to come and declare it and just let's do this today. We'd love to celebrate that with you. So we're going to sing and encourage one another. We invite you to stand. We invite you to smile. We invite you raise your hands, bow your head, whatever it is that you would like to do as we give God praise today. Thanks so much for being here at EB. Let's stand.